A tragic accident changed the course of his life forever. For most, it would have begun a life of discontent and wallowing around in self-misery. For Jonathan Nadeau, it kickstarted a new chapter of inspiration and appreciation. Even though he lost his sight permanently, he gained a passion to put creativity first in all areas of his life. And now, he wants to encourage you to do the same. There are times when you'll be faced with a choice. Be crushed by the weight of the situation, or use the fresh start to rebound bigger, better, and more inspired than ever before. This is Tornado, stories of those who refuse to choose defeat and instead chose to embrace the storm. Here's your host, Jonathan Nadeau.
Greetings and salutations. Thank you for joining us. We have yet another exciting episode for you. This is Embrace Your Storm. My name is Jonathan Nadeau. I'm your host as always. And today we have on Tyson. He has submitted a film to the festival called Triggered. So Tyson, thanks for coming on today.
Thank you for having me, Jonathan.
Hey, it's my pleasure. So before we get into what Triggered's all about and everything, the question I like to ask all of my guests is, how did you first get into using film as your creative outlet? Like, what brought you to that?
So I own my own clothing brand called Good Side, Bad Side Clothing. At the beginning, I started to make connections through film, through product placement, you know, where you put your brand in film.
Yeah.
And I started to with a lot of people in the industry. So while I was dropping clothes off on sets, I'm like a sponge to certain environments. If it interests me, I'll watch everything and I sort of absorb it. And I was watching how certain people were moving around on set, and I was asking questions. You know, like I'm not there to ask questions, but I was anyway, being cheeky.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I see the way that, you know, the one AD or you know, the lighting department are doing certain things, I say, oh, why do you do that? And they were genuinely happy to, you know, give me an answer. So I was picking everybody's brains, and, you know, after going to two or three different sets, it sort of dawned on me where this was something that I thought that I could actually, you know, go step into the industry and do. So I took a free online course for screenwriting and started to write, direct, and produce my own things.
Man, so one thing that I found fascinating about like what you just said is you're like, oh yeah, I had my own like clothing line, so I'm dropping clothes off at the, you know, at the set or whatever. So that we need to rewind a bit there. So like, how did you start your own like clothing line and stuff? Like, how did you get that off the ground?
So I left the military back in 2017 after doing 13 years service.
Wow.
And I got the idea for the clothing brand. I've always been a person who's been into my, you know, sort of designer clothing. I've always, anybody that knows me knows that I'm always coordinated with everything that I wear. So my hat will match my trainers, my jeans will match my top, etc. So I'm always, you know, Mr. Coordinated. But it got to the point where, you know, prices starting to hike up, and I'm thinking I'm paying, you know, hundreds of pounds for these different items when I can create something myself and literally create my own wardrobe. And so I got the idea for the logo. Ended up getting some samples from overseas and started to create my own t-shirts and caps that generated some good interest. I got some Hollywood actors in LA wearing stuff. Okay. Even though I'm based in the UK, I had, you know, high profile comedians over in Los Angeles wearing my stuff. Around, you know, high profile celebrities wearing it for red carpet events, etc. So it kind of snowballed from there, and I just carried on making new designs. I was getting it in music videos with, you know, high profile musicians from the UK, tapped into a style house in Los Angeles, where, you know, again, they have A-list celebrities that go in for certain events and music videos, and they sort of take the clothing off the rack. Again, got another celebrity wearing it from that style house in Los Angeles. And yeah, just carried on creating, you know, different styles, and that's where it went from there.
So how did you get like the comedians and like the this place in LA? Like, how did you get hooked up with all that? Like, was it all
the comedian, I was cheeky and I just sent a direct message through Instagram.
That's funny.
Yeah, it is. You know, sometimes it's kind of a hit or miss situation. You
think, oh, absolutely.
If I send the message and they don't reply, then at least I know that I've sent something, and you know, at least I've got that off my chest type
right.
thing. But I thought I'm going to be strategic with this. So the guy, the comedian's called Afion Crockett, without you not saying any names, but I'll say it anyway. He's he was on Instagram Live and he was doing a live talk with another celebrity. And I thought, if I time this right and I send him the DM, maybe you'll get the notification just as he finishes the live video. So as he just finished up the live video, I sent the message and he literally replied within seconds back, and I was like, whoa, I can't believe he's actually replied.
No kidding.
So yeah, and he said, send me some pictures, send me your catalogue or your lookbook. Sent him my lookbook, all the different styles that we were currently selling at the time, and he said, yeah, I'll have this, and this, and took it, and then. After I sent it, I think the first event he went to was Faith Evans, The King and I. It's basically like a memorial to Notorious B.I.G.
Yeah,
and the new album that she brought with like old music from the both of them. And he was posing in pictures with her. I think he had a picture with Puff Daddy.
Dude, that is crazy.
Yeah, so you know, from sending one DM, he's around these celebrities who were, you know, looking at the clothing and they're getting their eyes on the design. So
right, they're like, oh, where'd you get that? That's cool or whatever.
Exactly. So he was on another set with Michael J. White, you know, the martial artist.
Yeah, yeah.
He was filming the Undercover Brother 2, and there was another one of his supporting cast saw the jackets that he had on, which were my jackets at the time. They asked him for my contact details. He reached out. I started sending him some clothing, and now he's on season 3 of a show on BET. So he's doing big things as well. So he's,
dude,
you know,
crazy.
He was doing live videos with other celebrities wearing my stuff and actively promoting it, tagging us in pictures. Did a photo shoot with him as well. And yeah, it's just, you just, you know, again, it snowballs, and once you plant the seed, and it just grows from there. So,
are you still doing the clothing stuff as you're getting into the film stuff?
No, I've actually paused it for the time being because I'm producing my own stuff and obviously writing stuff. Doing them both at the same time is a little bit hard to juggle.
No, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't want to compromise one and do the other. It's either one with my full energy or not. You know, sort of cutting one off. So yeah, I decided to pause it for the time being and work on the film. And then obviously the natural progression is to bring the clothing that I have into film anyway, because everybody needs wardrobe. So it will all fall into place next year anyway, when we're doing other films and stuff. So yeah, I've sort of paused it at the moment, but I'm still in contact with everybody.
That's,
you know,
cool.
from the thing. So it's kind of like a switch. I switched it off, but as soon as I'm ready to go again, I'll switch it back
on. I hear you. So, yeah. All right. So now back to the film. When you got on, you know, you got on these sets or whatever, you're like, wait, this is cool. And you got interested. So what I like, again, this might be part of you being in the military or whatever, but you're like, okay, I need to jump online and take some courses and learn what this is about. Like you didn't mess around. You're just like, all right, let's dive in here.
Exactly. You know, I always say to everybody, the internet is a gift. Before, you
totally.
Know, pre-internet, we used to have to drive to libraries and get information.
Exactly.
So going through racks and looking through these hundreds of different books. But now we've got Google search. As soon as you search for a subject, pretty much 9 times out of 10, there's a free course, or if there's not a free course, There'll be a YouTube video that talks about it and gives you the information. If there's not a YouTube video, I guarantee there's a podcast that is interviewing again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Them gems. So, you know, when I come across a lot of people who have, you know, a lot of excuses for not doing certain things, and I always say there's no excuse, because the information is always ready available.
I hear you.
If you don't have internet at home, you can go to a library and get free internet. So that, again, there's no excuse. Just make sure that you know, you're actively looking for these things that you want to do, and you will naturally progress.
So now, is Triggered your first film that you've done and put out, like as like your first, like, you know, project you actually want people to see or whatever?
Yeah, that was my first short film. I've learned a lot since doing Triggered, I'll be honest. But Triggered was pretty much in at the deep end type situation. You know, I learned everything what I could from online and watching videos. I planned everything.
And then
I
you learn. Then you learn a lot more once you actually start doing it.
Exactly. I always say this to people. You know, you can plan until your eyes bleed, ears bleed, etc. But you literally cannot plan for what's going to happen while you're on set, because it's literally there's so many working parts to it. There's always something that doesn't go the way that you planned it, and you just need to be adaptable in that situation. And I think that's where, you know, my military experience made me suited for that role, because in the military, every situation that comes across you, whether you're in, you know, your normal working routine or whether you're on operations overseas, you've always got to be able to adapt at the click of the fingers and be able to drop what you're doing and roll with the punches, you know, as such. So when I was filming, I think it was a 4-day shoot that we did, there was a lot of things that happened, you know, a lot of locations that dropped out last minute. So we had to find new locations, et cetera, et cetera. Cast didn't turn up. And I was pretty much snappy with the decisions. And, you know, the rest of my team were kind of like, oh, you know, what are we going to do? And I said, all right, this is the plan, straight away with an action plan, drawing up maps like I was.
you got a plan. What is it? Plan for the best, hope for the worst. Or no.
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah.
hope for the best, plan for the worst, you know.
exactly. But it worked out in the end, you know, and it actually, when we look back at it, it is one of them things where I thought, you know what, all the cast that we actually had in it that didn't turn up, the support artists, etc., we didn't really need them, because the story was still told how it was supposed to be told, and the message was there. So, you know, chopping off that sort of dead weight, if you want to call it that, it made sense anyway. So, you know, I maybe overplanned and then ended up where, you know, when it didn't go our way, it actually went the right way without us actually realizing it. So, yeah.
That's cool. So now you wrote the script and you kind of wore all hats like everyone usually does on a film. You directed, produced and all that stuff and everything too, right?
Yeah, correct. I was, you know, like greeting actors and support artists as they were turning up, making sure they was happy, you know, and they weren't becoming restless, et cetera, et cetera. And it was kind of, like you say, you're wearing loads of hats, which, you know, really you should be concentrating on one of the crafts, but I felt in myself that I could handle that sort of pressure, because I come from a pressurized environment in the military anyway. Right. So it was one of things where I thought, you know what, I can handle this. And I did, you know, and I was making sure everyone was all right. I was directing, I was talking to the owners of the locations. We was filming in places where there was pedestrians and you know, citizens that were coming into the shops. Mm. So I had to deal with them and make sure that they were in the shots, blah blah blah, and it was a lot of pressure. I won't lie to you. When I finished the last day, I was drained, and I think I took a couple of days rest after that. But it felt good that I could handle that pressure, and I actually delivered under that pressure as well. So yeah,
that's cool. So now the getting the trigger. Then what's triggered all about? Why did you want to make this film?
So Triggered was based off, or is based off, my own personal experiences with mental health. And it follows the day-to-day life of a guy called Terence, who suffers from anxiety, social anxiety and depression. And he's followed by the voice in his head called Trigger, who basically, when he any situation he comes to in life, whether positive or negative, Trigger is that voice in his head that makes it, he blows it out of proportion and makes him worry, and then sort of sets his mental health into overdrive. So the reason behind me making the film was for awareness, mental health awareness, for people that don't know so much about mental health. You know, a lot of people like to, you know, people like to see things visually. People watch a lot of film, and when people watch film, I think they absorb the information a lot better than a sort of leaflet or a textbook that sort of explains it. So I decided to make it into a visual film with a little bit of a spin on the way that I experienced it, so that people can see the signs and symptoms in the friends, family, members, colleagues, and people that they're around, and it just gives them a better understanding on their own personal mental health. Maybe, you know, somebody is suffering from mental health, they watch the film and then think, wow, you know what, I really need help. I kind of resonate with this film. And then they go away and then they get help. Or maybe they're not suffering from mental health, but they've got children, they've got friends, they've got family, colleagues who they see the signs and symptoms from the film that are actually the signs and symptoms that the your friends, family, or colleagues are suffering at the time. So then that sort of instigates that conversation where they will go and maybe ask them, you know, how are you feeling? Are you okay? You know, I've noticed that you're a little bit down, blah, blah, blah. And then that can sort of instigate the conversation where the person might be open to getting therapy. So then they end up, you know, ultimately getting help. And then, you know, it doesn't come to the worst case scenario where a lot of people are not getting help. And, you know, it's as I know from experience through friends and close people, people are committing suicide and the rates are going through the roof, you know, because people are sitting with these feelings and they're not venting to anybody. They're not speaking to anybody about the feelings that they're feeling. And they sort of isolate themselves as I did. And they're sort of caught up in this, especially with us men. We're sort of raised to suppress our feelings and sort of, you know, we're men, so we can't have mental health issues,
right,
you know.
Right.
We just need to crack on and do what we have to do daily. But, you know, Triggered hopefully gets the message out to people to speak out and know that you're not alone in this situation. There are plenty of people that are in the same situation. There's plenty of groups that you can speak to. There's plenty of places you can walk into and book appointments. But if you're not feeling comfortable to speak to people in person, there's plenty of places you can call, you can send the emails to. And you know, if you don't like the face-to-face interaction, you can do it online in chatbot.
Yeah.
And you can also do it over the telephone. So there's, you know, there's different means of you making contact with these different charities that will help you on your way.
Yeah, no, I appreciate what you've done with this movie, because like you said, some people can maybe learn or take things in more in a visual way. And that's definitely like the day and age we live in anyways. But, you know, I was telling you before the interview how my daughter struggles with mental health issues. And before that, you know, I would in generally speaking, in general terms, I would look at depression or mental health and I'd be like, I don't get it. You know, I've been through all this stuff myself and I didn't go through like a bout of depression. And, you know, I don't want to say my attitude was kind of like, oh, just get over it. But it was sort of like that. Cause you know, cause I'm like, through my own experience, I didn't go through this, but you know, I'm different, right? I'm not the same as everyone else and vice versa. Right. But once my daughter started struggling with mental health issues 3 or 4 years ago, that's when it really hit home for me.
Yeah.
And it really, you know, showed me that like these symptoms that you talk about, like, cause the day and age we live in, I think we just push them off. You're like, oh, I'm anxious. Oh, I'm this. Oh, I'm that. Oh, I feel this way around a crowd of people. I think we just shove all those things aside, but really the dangerous thing is not talking about it.
Correct. And the thing is, Jonathan, anxiety is a normal human response. That's what people need to understand as well. You know, just because you get anxious in a situation, that doesn't mean that you're suffering from mental health. But anxiety is natural, you know, with us, you know, being hunter-gatherers from hundreds of years, thousands of years. The fight or flight response is a natural human response. But it's when you're getting the fight or flight response in situations that you shouldn't be getting the fight or flight response. Does that make sense? So a lot of people are getting, so personal experience again, I was getting the fight or flight response, literally just putting the bins out on a normal day in the front of my house. And I was worrying about, you know, what the neighbors are going to think, how I'm putting the bin out, et cetera. And that's not normal. So, you know, when the feeling is in overdrive in situations that it shouldn't be, that's when you really need to seek help. And you know, it might start off small and you need to keep an eye on it. And it's easier said than done.
But, yeah.
You know, that's when the people around you need to be more aware of the situation. And like you did with your, you know, with your daughter, you become aware to the situation because you're sort of experiencing it secondhand.
Yeah.
You just need to be mindful of the people around you. And that's where people need to be more aware of it. Even if they're not suffering, just make sure that you're aware in some way, shape or form.
I mean, speaking of being mindful, I mean, like the people listening to you talk, I mean, if they were to hear you talk, they wouldn't have, I would never assumed you struggle with mental, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're like a put together dude, right? So like,
I'll be honest with you, Jonathan, like yesterday, I was contemplating putting a video on Instagram. So I would just, I suffer, I don't like the word suffer. I have anxiety. And it never really goes away. It's something that you learn to cope with, and that's where when you get the therapy, they give you these, you know, the sort of tools. You take away the tools from the therapy that help you cope with the anxiety and the depression. So it never goes away 100%, but you know how to cope with it. So for example, yesterday I was sat at home, I was doing whatever I do in my day to day life. And all of a sudden, I started to get this rush of anxiety for no apparent reason at all. I don't know where it come from. I don't know what it was from and what triggered it. However, I knew that I was starting to feel uncomfortable just sat at home. Now, the way that I deal with that, because I can recognize it when it's building up, I just put my sports kit on and I go for a walk in like wooded areas, or you know, somewhere where there's nice, where there's nature and it's quite open. And for me, when I do that, as soon as I've gone for that walk, whether it's 20, it doesn't have to be an hour, you know, 20, 30 minutes walk, come back and the feeling had literally gone, and the natural endorphins from me walking give me a boost. So I literally flipped it on its head from me feeling anxious to feeling happy, because I recognize the signs. And that's where people need to know, the, you know, sort of their own feelings as
exactly.
well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, totally. So now back to trigger then. Like, I don't know how much you want to give away or tell, or what. I mean, obviously, you don't want to give away the ending or whatever. But I mean, what are like maybe a scene or two, or like, you know, I don't know, like if you want to explain some of kind of like what the movie looks like, just so people would know what to expect. Because I do like the approach that you took with having the physical person representing like the jester, if you want to like talk about that.
Yeah, so how the scenes were shot, when Triggered would be, he'd be there in shots and then he'd disappear, and it'd sort of be like a back and forth, so that you realize that he was sort of a figment of Terence's imagination, and that's sort of like the look that we went for. And with regards to his color grading, it started off sort of dark and gritty. And then as he was sort of going towards therapy, the colour grading got brighter, and you can't really notice it until somebody tells you, but the grading goes from dark to light at the end when he sought out therapy. And that's sort of, if he was to explain mental health in colour, that's the sort of way that I'd explain it. You're in a very dark place, and then you sort of, your life brightens up once you sort out therapy, and it's sort of a massive weight off your shoulder, and then you sort of, you know, I won't say a skip out of therapy, but you feel lighter, you know, and
you're on a
higher level.
Yeah, no, totally. Like I mean, a little story about myself. I started speaking to a therapist like a year and a half ago or so, and I was my brain was going to have like a complete train wreck. Like there was, you know, there's just so much going on in my life. And you know, over here in the United States, we have, it wasn't 911. I didn't call that, but it's a number kind of like that. And and when I called them, I was just like, you know, I'm not going to hurt myself. I'm not that kind of person. I don't think I could ever do that. But I was like, but if I'm not going to hurt myself, what is the answer? Because my brain is gonna, like I said, have this train wreck. Like, how do I help myself if I'm not gonna hurt myself? You know, like I almost understood at that point, like why some people do hurt themselves. You know,
they need some sort of an outlet. That's the thing. It's one of them things where it's kind of like a pressure cooker, right? So when the pressure cooker's on, at some point you need to turn it off before it explodes. If you keep the pressure cooker on and it keeps heating up, eventually it's going to bang. And that, you know, that's the thing. If you don't know how to sort of have that pressure relief valve, where, you know, you're letting off a little bit of steam, even if it's a little bit each day, it's still relieving that little bit of pressure where you're not going to sort of explode, then you're sort of in a bad place. It's one of them things where you need to understand yourself, your thoughts, and know sort of tools, what
exactly you can do, that's, you know, that's where having tools comes into play for sure.
Correct.
That really is what changed me, is just having the right tools and kind of unraveling my brain a little bit, you know, and kind of getting it reorganized. But it was one of the best things I've ever done. I would say I was sort. I wouldn't say I was like openly against talking to therapists, but I'd be like, oh, you can go ahead and do it, but I don't need that, you know. Like, But like I said, I started going a year and a half ago, and it's one of the best things I've ever done. And I would tell anyone, it's not going to hurt you to talk to someone, you know, it is well worth your time.
100%.
Yeah. Again, Tyson, I totally appreciate this film. What advice would you give some like new upcoming people like that wanted to get started in film if it came to like writing a script or whatever? Like, what kind of advice would you give to people that are like, I can't do that. I don't have this or that. Like, what advice would you give them?
I would say if you want to be a writer, I would say go online on YouTube. If you've got access to YouTube and an internet connection, go on YouTube. YouTube, there's so many different established screenwriters who have done, you know, a lot of work with big networks, and they'll literally tell you how to break down the structure of screenwriting. So that, you know, you need to learn the foundations first as a screenwriter. And you need to understand the three act structure. If you don't understand that, then your screenplay won't translate well. So that's the basics of it. You need to learn the foundations and dig deep into the three act structure. So if you don't have access to the internet and you don't have YouTube, etc., go to a library. There's plenty of screenwriting books available. And I would say one that I found the best for myself was Sid Field's The Screenwriter's Workbook. Now, this literally gives you exercises and step-by-step instructions for creating a screenplay. And it breaks everything down. So you'll read a chapter, it will summarize the chapter to make it more digestible, and then it will give you an exercise at the end of that chapter, which you have to then take away and put into play. So it sort of cements everything that they spoke about in that chapter. If I recommend a book, get Sid Field's Screenwriter's Workbook. And he's also got one after that, which is The Screenwriter's Problem Solver, which sort of packs onto the top of The Screenwriter's Workbook. Helps you, you know, develop your script, because after you've wrote your first draft, is literally when you're shoveling the sand into the sandbox, and then from that sand you need to then build your sandcastle.
Exactly. So
it's one of them things where both of them books side by side are really good tools to use. So if you're going into film, you know, if you want to get into the industry there's multiple departments, as you know, in the film industry. If you want to get into the industry, I would say get onto a set. You know, it might be a high profile set, it might be an independent set where, you know, there's a local film group in your town, city, state, etc. If you can get around people that are filming, get on set as a support artist, because as a support artist you sort of have the bird's eye view of everything going on. You know you're not getting caught up in everything, but you're taking a step back and you can sort of watch the different departments, and from taking that approach you can see what sort of maybe what department you would like to go into, because you can then watch the individual departments working in real time. So I'd say go as a support artist, choose the department that you find the most interesting, and then again, pick the people's brains that are on the set. That's what I did. I was asking them questions, you know, and it intrigued me more getting the answers, and I'm thinking, that's very interesting. So never, don't go on set and while they're in the middle of doing a job, ask them questions, because that's the wrong approach. But, you know, when you see that, you know, they're having a couple of seconds and they're, you know, not sort of doing anything technical or anything, and you're not really disturbing them, then just approach them in a nice way and just say, hi, my name's whatever your name is, and I'm very interested in joining this sort of your department within the film industry. Would you be able to tell me a little bit of how this works? And you know, 9 times out of 10, if they're not stressed and got smoke coming out of their ear, they'll give you a genuine answer. So, you know, you've got to read the situation as well and make sure that they're not looking stressed out and running around on fire. So it's just one of them things. You know, you've got to pick people's brains and ask people. And on top of that, back to the YouTube, you know, I'm not getting any sort of money from YouTube to promote them. I keep mentioning YouTube, but YouTube is, again, YouTube and Google are your best friends. You know, you can Google anything that you're interested in, and you'll get, you know, pages on pages of all this information, and you don't have to pay hundreds of pounds for a course, which is good if you have the money to. But if you don't, you can get this information free on Google and YouTube, because there's always videos. And on top of that, if you want to go further and you know maybe you're not a visual learner, you can listen to podcasts. There's plenty of
Yeah,
audio that
totally.
you can do. And podcasts, I would say, give you the more in-depth information. Because I've listened to some podcasts and they'll have guests who you know from directing certain films, et cetera, and they will tell you the obstacles they went through. They will tell you the routes that they've gone through to get to where they are. And that's what you want. You really, if you want to go somewhere, it's best to follow the people that are in the position where you want to be, and the people that have got the track record of being successful in that industry. And that's what I always do. I'll follow the, sometimes I watch a film and I think, right, that was a really good film. Even if it's an independent film, I'll look at the credits, find out who the writer was, find out who the director was. I'll follow them on Instagram and then I'll find out if they've got any courses, if they've got any videos on YouTube. And 9 times out of 10, they've done podcasts, they've done interviews, et cetera, and you'll find a lot of information from that.
That's really cool. Thanks, Tyson. I appreciate that. Again, for the submission to the festival for Triggered, thank you so much for that. Thank you for your work on it. It's greatly appreciated. Without, creators like you making films, there'd be no Tornado Film Festival. So thank you so much for your work on that.
Well, thank you for having me.
And my pleasure. Do you have any other work coming down the road here? Do you want to like give out your website and stuff if you want?
Yeah, well, if you, I'm on Instagram at Tyson_G_official, so you can follow. Sort of, I don't really put too much personal stuff. It's more work related. It's
Yeah.
kind of like an electronic CV, if you want to put it that way. So I put if I'm working on stuff, it's always on my Instagram, and I'll post stuff on there.
Okay.
I also have a production company called GSBS Productions UK, and that's at GSBS Productions UK. And currently, we're working on a web series called The Video Shop. So, if you want to, get any
That's cool.
information on that, follow GSBS Productions or my personal page, and you'll find all information on, the release and sort of how far we're getting in post-production with that.
Awesome. Awesome. Again, Tyson, thank you so much for your time. We're going to be wrapping up the interview here. So I appreciate all your work and everything you're doing as a creator. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you very much for having me on your podcast, Jonathan. Thank you.
My pleasure. And everyone, thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. And don't forget to embrace your storm. See ya.
Tornado with Jonathan Nadeau. If you haven't yet, please subscribe now so you're first to hear new episodes with more stories of inspiration about the highs and lows of life and how embracing the storm is so much more fulfilling of a life than being crushed by the weight of the world. And until then, we hope you're inspired to do something, whether it's creating, participating, or learning, whatever leads you to your personal passion.